between, I would say, Yitzchakiyut and Yishmaeliyut.
That depends on the theological basis of what's really happening, to the best of my, in the short time that we have here. I want to do this with sources and see things inside. Limited, I've cut down the sources by half, but this should be enough for the evening. You know, the Pasuk says, if you look at source one, the Pasuk in Parshas Balak, where Bilam looks at what he sees, and he says, "Vayisam mishalo vayomar." He raised. He spoke loudly about the metaphor that he experienced, and he said, "I will translate according to Chal. Oy, woe, mi yichyeh? Who will survive? Misumo el, from he who has the name of God put in his name." Who will survive the crisis which will happen because of that person, that family, which has the name Aleph Lamed in it? If you read immediately in source 2, Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, it's a very old medrash. Omer Bilam, Bilam said, "B'shivim l'shonot shabarak Kadosh Baruch Hu, of the 70 nations, or rather cultures." When we talk of the shonot, we don't talk about a nation. In a national sense, we talk about cultures. I mean, culture's medium is language. I'm all educated people here. I don't think I have to explain this, okay? Of the 70 languages, equals of the 70 cultures, the main predominant cultures of history at the time, were categorized in 70 in Jewish thought. Of the 70 cultures where the Kadosh Baruch Hu had created in his world, very beautiful, multifaceted, colorful world. Lo sam shmo le'echad mehem. He didn't put his name to any of them, Ela Yisrael, except for Israel. Yisrael. Ki sarita im elokim batuchal. Yes, we have the name of God in our name. Then it says, Ho'il v'yishva kadosh baruch hu shmo she'yishma'el l'shmo she'yisrael. But God had equated the Ishmaelites to the name of the Israelites, for they both have the name Aleph Lamed, the name of God of force. El, by the way, means force, kifut, Elei Haaretz, the forces of the world. You always think of mythology, the forces which are running the world. Elei Haaretz, yes, there is the Yishmael and the Kisarita im Elokim batuchal. Sarita, you overwhelmed, okay? You have Koyach. And Yishmael, also God put the name Aleph Lamed into his name. And that says, Oh, mi yichyeh b'yamav. Woe, who that will live in that period of time where they will be a predominant player on the stage of history. Oy, mi yichyeh misumo el. Woe is he who will live at that time when the predominant player will be he who has the name of Aleph Lamed in his name, meaning to say, well, we are talking about the time when Islam has become a predominant factor all over the Western world. Go to Europe. I have a child in London, and I see how different churches have been closed and mosques are sprouting all over the place. Okay, I was there last year at Christmas. And, you know, I figured that there's going to be Tikkun Chatzos. Because that's what happens, right? You have they have this big mass. It was empty, but it wasn't there. He lived across the street from an Anglican church. There wasn't even a service. They didn't have, I thought they were going to have overflow. Garnished. It's unbelievable. And not far, there was a mosque in there on Friday. There was no parking. So I want us to understand that Pirkei Rabbi Elazar is describing the Nevuah of Dilam, which is happening in our lives. And woe, who will survive, who will live at that time when Islam becomes basically very predominant on the stage of history. You're looking at it now. I want to understand the place of Yishmael and why that is so powerful. But what uniquely does he deal with the Jews? Let's read a few psukim in Bereshis in source 3. V'yomer Elokim, and the Lord, that's what Elokim means. Doesn't mean God, it means the Lord. And the Lord said to Avraham, Sarai ishtachai, your wife Sarai. Lo tikra et shma Sarai. Do not call her name Sarai anymore. Ela sarki sarashma. Shma. Her name is Sarah. Let me explain what that means. The changing of the last letter of her name from Sarai with a yud to Sarah with a hey. It was only through that that she was able of becoming a mother. What's the difference if she's called Sarai or called Sarah? See, yud, those who know their mathematics, represents what we call mathematical point, which is actually the source of all matter in line, but it has no space of its own. Anybody who knows their art, the famous picture in the Sistine Chapel where Adam raises his hand and God brings down his hand to him, there's a small vacuum, a little space between the two hands. That's called mathematical point. The beginnings of everything, but it's not tangible. Because every point that we know is nothing more than a small line. It has a beginning, it has an end, it has texture. That's a line. The idea of a conceptual point, which is the source of all lines, this is, by the way, this is not just math, it's a Magid Mishnah of Chaserivan, but that's not for now, which actually discusses this idea. Tutam Ehtashur, whatever, Nishnietz. Okay? But this is, that's Yud. Yud symbolizes mathematical point. Yud Chochmah Ketumah, it symbolizes the sublime infinity, wisdom, infinite wisdom of God, source of everything. You know what a hey is? A hey is taking that Yud and giving it a framework, context, fleshing it out, making that mathematical point into matter. It's expressed in finite matter. That's what it is. The Gemara says in Menachos Don Gimel, and the pasuk ki bi yud ke ko Hashem tsur olamim, with the name yud and hey, God formed two worlds. So the Gemara, with yud, he created the conceptual world of metaphysics. That's just beyond understanding, but the source of it all, we would say. And with hey, he created the tangible world that we experience through our five senses. Yes, he first created the core metaphysical truth, infinity, which is expressed as a reason of creation. That's yud. I would call that the world of the space cadets. The world, you know, they say the b'china of, the stuff that you don't understand and you kick it up with the word b'china. And then there's hey, that's the world that you can touch, feel with your five senses. When the yud, that little conceptual idea, is fleshed out and I can see it. Sarai, for him to finally realize herself, is not just the prophetess, but can translate and express her holiness and her persona in a practical continuity of a world which exists, becoming a reason for the future of history, had to be transformed from Sarai of the conceptual Yud into Sarah, the world of practical application of ideas. It's only at that stage when Sarai went through the spiritual metamorphosis. She walked off the Olympus, if I may say, the ivory tower of metaphysical reality, into the practical capability of translating it, as my Rebbe once taught me, in the cup of coffee that you drink in the morning, or you give to your wife. Then she becomes a mother. So the pasuk says, Lo tikrat shma Sarai, ki sarashmo. She's somebody else now. I will bless her. Not only from your first wife, Agar, actually your second wife, but the first mother in your house. But even from her, the space cadet, which could not become the reason of the future, I've changed her. And now she can actually be a mother. She can not just be this prophetess and this teacher, she can be a mother. And therefore, now you will have a child from her too. And the pasuk says, Vaital legoyim, she'll have nations sprouting forth from her womb. Malchei amim mimena yitzu. There'll be monarchs of nations which are sprout forth from her. But Yomei Avram, how does Avram relate to this? Avram has a bchor. Everybody knows that we love our bchor. A bchor gets pi shnayim. Why does a bchor get twice the two portions in the inheritance? I'm in the process of writing a will, so I have to been thinking about this a lot. You get to a certain age where you have to do things that you're responsible. And you make sure that pi shnayim is a bit smaller than they think they're going to get. Other members of the family. Why does the poor get pi shnayim? Avram loved this poor. Because see, and here I'll tell you a story to understand the background. We were blessed with our poor 5.5 years after the wedding, and it wasn't because we didn't want one. Okay, we'll leave it at that. And the child was born, and we have the Shalom Zachar in my house in Har Nof. And you know, there's always this obnoxious neighbor which asks the wrong questions at the wrong time. Did you ever meet them? So this man, very nice man, a very charitable man, says, "Nu, Rabbi Blachman, what do you feel now?" So I under I says, "You know, I feel like slugging you." How do you say in Yiddish? Where are you going into my innards? What's the angeschäft? You know, I go to Tiana. The Stein's graft. You understand? How do you feel now? So Anze, I'd like to slug you. But he was a nice man. So I won't. I will not be violent. But I want to tell you, I'll tell you what I feel. You see, until this little red, ugly thing in that room, they always ask, "Isn't he beautiful?" "No, he looks like a monkey." "He'll be beautiful in a few months." When they come out, they look like "Does he look like you?" "I hope not." did you ever see that? You know, Ellie, didn't they tell you that? "Isn't he beautiful?" And you can't say no, he's a monkey. But that's the way it is. Okay, I need you to be happy tonight, okay? So I'll tell you what I feel. Until this little thing over there came into existence, I was Sir Laurence Olivier on the stage of the Barbican, which is a prominent theater in London, and I was doing Hamlet. You know, Mendel Blachman, Hamlet. Ich bin du. And there's that little red thing in the back room. He just kicked me off the stage. And I am no more doing Hamlet. I've been transformed into the producer. I says, maybe I have a shot of being his director. I'm not sure. The script I will never be able to write. He won't let me. Thank God. You know, I'm happy with that. And I says, you know, I'm so happy because until now I was just poor old Laurence Olivier on the stage doing Hamlet. But I wasn't the reason for the future. I was only celebrating the present. And now all of a sudden, I'm the reason for the next generation. I'm the reason for what we call continuity. And that is so special. That is so special, especially if you come from a Holocaust survivor's family. You understand what it is, you know, wow, there is a next generation. So I'm, you know what Chor is? This is not my idea. It's about Tanya in his Kavanas, where he writes, you know what the Kedusha of Chor is? He transferred the father from just being a person to being a father. Av means Aleph Bet. You're not just Aleph. There's a Bet already. There's something following. And that's why he gets Pishnai. Why? Because he's a kid. You know what? He made the father into a father. He transformed him from player, artist, into producer of the future. So understand, that's why, yeah, there is a certain very unique affinity for a poor. The Ramban discusses this, the old question they all ask, how could Yitzchak love Esau? Terrible, right? And Ramban is a very practical man. He says, what do you want? He was his poor. It is natural to love your poor. You want not to be natural? Yeah, he's a Navi. He can't be natural. No, no, he didn't go to Brisk. Hitaka is a normal person and loves his poor. I love that Ramban, you know, very earthy type of person. Yeah. And give it a normal mensch. He was simply a normal person. It's important to teach this to these young children, these little pumpkins that come to Israel. They think to be religious is not to be normal. Right? You have to remind them that you're actually supposed to be a normal person, which is religious. As my mommy always told me, when you read the Siddur in the morning, remember to put the period in the right place. Lo'olam yehei Adam. Period. What else? You're a Shemayim. That's number two. That's what my mommy taught me. So you understand, this is the idea that, yeah, it's a natural thing to love a poor. So how did Avraham Avinu react when they told him he's going to have another son from Sarah? Sarah, and she's going through a spiritual metamorphosis and thus enabling her to be this mother. You know what he says? He says, V'yom Avram Elohim lu Yishmael yichel lefanecha. Ich b'moichel de taibis. You know, do me a favor, don't make this be miracles. I'm very happy that I have a Yishmael living in front of you. Let him be my legacy. Let him be the continuance. Let him be the nosei habris. The whole bris ben absorb should be with him. And that's what our grandfather Yishmael said about, slip of the tongue, Avram said about his poor Yishmael. I'm Michael Toivis, I need this miracle, you're changing my wife. No, Tamecha Toiva, I have already a son. You can fulfill everything with him. And that's a father loves a child. So don't ask me questions, how did Yitzchak love Esav? How did Avram love Yishmael? He's his poor. And in a poor, he sees the potential. Because the kedusha of a poor is very unique. We know that a poor, the Rishonim say, is born with unique potential of being a leader in growth in religion. That's why he has to be redeemed. The Rabban brings this. If he doesn't use that potential, then he's Mechalas HaKadosh. He desecrates the holy powers given to him. That's why we redeem him. We're giving a way out. Okay, you're a putter. You don't have to be special anymore. Okay, literally. That's what we're doing when we redeem a poor. We're exempting him from overexerting himself. Because not everybody can be special. But the poor is supposed to be special. He's got a tool chest over there, which gives him the potential. And if God gives you a tool chest and you don't use it, you're in a bad place. You're in a bad place. So we basically redeem him from that responsibility. That's what a pinyon haben is. It's finally telling the kid, you know, you don't have to be the best in the class. You can get an 85 average, and you go to Brooklyn College. You don't have to go to Harvard, etc. That should be a nice parent to think of it. Quite, you know, giving a kid space. Very important. That's what pinyon haben is, if you understand this. So he basically says, you know, I love this kid. He has all the potential. He's my poor. Let him take the legacy. Did you ever understand that Avraham Avinu wanted the Brit Ben Aptarim equals Eretz Yisrael, the thrust towards monotheism in humanity would be in the hands of his firstborn Ishmael. He says, God, we don't need the miracle. I'm happy with him. That's a pasuk of Chumash. Then you ask me, where does he get his powers? granddaddy believed in him. That's where he got his powers. And the pasuk says, and God says to him, no. But Yomer Elohim, aval, you're right. He's very powerful. He's a potent force. He has tons of potential. And he is a decent candidate for leading history towards monotheism and being the one carrying the covenantal relationship and having Eretz Yisrael. That's everything found in your Brit Ben Aptarim, in that covenantal relationship. Aval, but, my dear friend, Sarah Ishtachayu Lele Ben. He's not the daughter, son of Sarah. He's the daughter of Hagar. Do you notice? As far as Avram is concerned, he doesn't see a difference. But God says there's a difference of who his mother is. That's something very special. It's not Mother's Day, so I won't elaborate on that. But that's what the pasuk says. Who is the mother? It says, you know, good guy, that's not where he was supposed, my covenant wanted him to be. I want someone who comes from Sarah. Specifically, about Sarah ishtachayud chabed. It's your Sarah, your wife, which she's going to give you a son. The karat shmo Yitzchak, and you will call him Yitzchak v'akimoti et briti. So I will substantiate my covenant with him, the child of Sarah. The brit olam, it'll be a perpetual covenant. Lizaro acharah for his children afterwards. Uli Ishmael shmaticha. When I heard your prayer about Ishmael, I saw your love of Ishmael. Yes, I will fulfill that. He will be a major player in history. Yishmael Shvaticha, Hine Berachti Oto, I blessed him. Vifreiti Oto, and I will multiply him. Virbeiti Oto, and there will be so much of him, his influence will be enormous. B'ma'od, Ma'od, Shnei Masan Nisi'im Yolid, there will be 12 princes, long before the Jews had anything. V'netativ L'goi Gadol, he will be a very big, influential nation. Because he's your poor. Because he's all that potential. But you know what? My covenant will be with Sarah's son and not with Hagar's son. They're both equal as far as you're concerned. You don't think you need Sarah's son. And I tell you, I need Sarah's son, not your son. Something to understand that. Our battle here is not two Bnei Avrams. Our battle is between Ben Hagar and Ben Sarah. That is the theme that we're looking at here very carefully. Who, in the end of the day, is the carrier of the torch of the covenant? And watch this next stage. Look at the source, hey. Vatereh Sarah Ben Hagar Mitzrit Ashe Yalda. And Sarah saw the, once again, the son of Hagar Mitzrit. Doesn't even call him Yishmael, because that's him, right? We just described. Who's Yishmael? Ben Hagar versus Ben Sarah. He was Mitzachek. Now, what does Mitzachek mean? It doesn't mean he had a good sense of humor. He wasn't J.K. Mason, no prehistoric, no. Zot Rabbeinu B'chaye, source was Ayin. Mitzachek, Lashon Avodah Zarah. He was either dealing with paganism, Lashon Mitzicha, or he was a bit violent, murder. Or Lashon Gilui Arayot, he extended himself in a licentious way. Ki hayu Yishmael v'Yitzrei Yitzchak merivim al Yerusha. They were fighting about that legacy. V'haya omer Yishmael, Yishmael claimed and says, my dear young man, ani b'chor. I am the poor, not you. And therefore, Anino tell Pishnaim. I'm the one who made Avram the reason of history. I take the Pishnaim. Now, what does the Pishnaim mean by the Yerusha of Avraham? So go to the next source. The next source is source Zion of the Pirkei de Belazar. And here we will see exactly what Yishmael's claim was. Nisayon Chi'i, he described the 10 tests of Avraham. What was the 9th test? Yishmael, yeah. That child was a challenge. No, he was like Dennis the Menace. Okay, he was a challenge. He was a challenging child. Yishmael nolad bikeshet. He was born with a bone. V'nitrava b'keshet, and that bow, that violence, multiplied and developed with his growth. Sh'ne'emar v'yihi rove kashat, he was a archer. V'yanotel keshet v'chitziv, he would take his bow and arrows. V'yoreach yoreach ha'afot, he loved shooting birds. Can you imagine a kid here in Lawrence going around with his pea shooter and killing birds? This is, I want to understand who my uncle was. And Pamachat once ra'ah et Yitzchak yoshev lebadel. Typical Yitzchak, sitting alone. This is not going to explain that, but it's obvious. He's not a very social person. Doesn't talk that much even to his wife. Yoshev lebadel. He was probably sitting and thinking, meditating. You know what I mean? He's sitting there. And what does he do? He shot an arrow to kill him. He went to kill him. We talk about sibling rivalry of the Yerusha. Who will carry forth the legacy of the Brit Ben Abtarim? Who is the poor? Yishmael somehow and Ben Hagar did not comply with God's will and said, I am the poor. Well, there's ways of solving it. And this was his solution. He wanted to kill his brother. Rata Sarah saw that. V'yigidel Avraham, and she told to Abraham, kazeh b'kazeh asa Yishmael liYitzchak. This is what he did. He shot arrows at him and he barely missed. He wanted to kill him. So what does she say? I love this. I see the Yiddish mama here. Ella. And Avram says, no, we'll try to talk to him. Abisla Masil Yeshorim, Abisla Musar. You know, I can see Avram. It's my little Yegula. I'll talk to him. I'll embrace him. You know, it's the Hakdish Kachaynik of Rebel. You know, when she tells him, don't bother me. I might stand, she tells him. V'chtov li Yitzchak, write your will now. She's a practical girl. You know, we're going to the lawyer. V'chtov li Yitzchak, kol ma shenishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu liten lecha v'zarecha. It was right down that the covenantal relationship, which the keshvua that God swore for Abraham to give further to his seed, that's us. I want you to write it down black and white. It goes to Yitzchak and it does not go to Ishmael. He has it clear as day from the Midrash that the argument when we talk about Korah, Ishmael claimed that he is the continuance of Abraham and Yitzchak is the pretender. And obviously Sarah would not hear it. She wanted it to be written down black and white, and this is what we have in front of us. And here there's something which is, I just want to show you how this developed in history. The next source, in source Chet, is a quotation of the Quran. And this, I would say, is one of the more pleasant ones. I didn't want to quote everything. Some of them are very violent about Jews, very violent. But this is one which, in my eyes, explains what I just taught you. Let's read the Quran, if you may. Not very yeshivish, but I think it's important. No, you have to understand who you're dealing with. You have to understand this is not a question from the ocean to the sea. This is not a question of politics. It's not a question of refugees. This is not the issue. Is a much deeper. We are dealing with the Hamas. They are a very religious people. This is really a jihad. This is a holy war. I want you to understand that's what we're dealing with. And we have to deal with it in that context. Because this is an issue of theology. We have to somehow refute that claim at the theological level. It's beautiful to help and do great things for Jews. But there's an issue here. What we would say that up there, Sarash Yishmael is screaming, Bloody Mary, man, and we're having a problem. And we have to stand up there, Raftat Rivam Danta Dinam. We also have to stand up there in Beth Nishamala and say, no, that claim is false. We are the bearers of that torch and not him. I want you to read what they write. And when Yishmael came to the age of understanding, but Yomei Avram Elav, this is a Hebrew translation, I originally looked at it in the English. I'm curious, so I like read these things. But this is just, it's Hebrew, I'm sorry, I didn't bring an English translation. But Yomei Avram Elav and Avram said to Yishmael, B'ni, my son, Ra'iti b'chalomi, I saw in my dream, Hinini makrivcha la'ola, I will bring you up as a burnt offering. And he's not a child, he's already a ben bina, he's 40 years old. Okay? More than 40 years old. Ma tachshav al zeh, what do you think about that? Now, you parallel that to Akedat Yitzchak in our Bible. It is so interesting. In our Bible, Abraham doesn't tell Yitzchak what's going to happen. He's not a partner of the decision. He said that, Eish, Eitzim, Vayehaseh Le'ola. Don't worry about Yingola. Elokim Yarel Sasol Abini. They get up there, and all of a sudden he lassos him, ties him up. Look at, is he a partner in the decision? Or was he the Chepsa or a Gavra? Was he an object or was he a partner? Think of it. What does that Kedat Yitzchak mean? It means the tying up of Yitzchak. Who did that? Abraham. I want you to understand that. It's the schus of Avram in Akedat Yitzchak, the lead Rama Beis Abchir, Peg Beis, where he explicitly writes this. Peg Beis Loch Aleph. Just remember that. Okay? So we talk about, and here's the opposite. Here we ask the man, do you want to do this? What do you think about the idea of being sacrificed? And he says, Vayan, and Yishmael answered, Avi, my father. Very parallel to the Bible, Avi, 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 that is the name, the predominant name of Yitzchak, of Avi, Bni, same thing here, Avi, my father. Asek asher tzuveita, you must do that, which how you were commanded. He says, of course. B'tir eber atzon elokim, you will thus see the will of God. Ki ani minas sublim, I am complacent. I will do whatever has to be done. Isn't it? What's next? By he, Achreho Ilam Shnehem, after they both agreed to this, do you notice it's again, they both were partners. Vayar Chuhu Al Panav, and he rose him up on the altar, you know, with on his face. He picked him up, you know, in front of him, wasn't backhanded, didn't have to tie him. He put him on the altar. But he cried aloud, we called him, equal to his God, so to speak, speaking, not Muhammad. We called him Abraham, Avraham. Abraham, Avraham. Al tishlach et chalana. Hei nitzdak chazoncha. Your vision has been verified. Hei nitan sachar liyishrei derech. Thus there will be reward for those who go in the right way. This is the parallel of the promises of Avraham after the Akedah. Ach masai tazot. This was only a test. V'neshita lo kabanache, you will substitute Yishmael with another carbon. Do you see the parallels in the Akedah? V'nasehu bracha l'dor nolad, and we will make him, who is Yishmael, a bracha for the future generations. Shalom al Avram, of what? And then it says, Kein nishalem gmuli yishrei derech, we will always reward those who go in the right way. Yan kayama vadeinu hamaminim banu, for he, Abraham, was our servant that believed in us. And then it says, Univasreyu, and now, due to the fact that Abraham succeeded in this Akedat Yishmael, we will now will tell him good news. Univasreyu et Yitzchak, we will tell him about the birth of Yitzchak. Do you see what the story here is? I mean, this is as true as Luke and Mark are true. But this is the tradition that they live with. I want us to understand. I'm not judging. I'm just looking at reality. This is history as far as these people are concerned. This is the Bible. This is the Holy Script. This was given by the angel to the hands of Muhammad. This is the word of God as far as they're concerned. It is the Akedat Yishmael because he is the Bchor. And he is the future. The peace over there that I'm going to give you a son called Yitzhak never happened. It only was found, not to Sarah, nothing with Sarah. Because you were successful in Akedat Yishmael, therefore I'm going to promise you another son. We only exist because Yishmael was and Avram were successful in Akedat Yishmael. Do you realize what this is? This is telling you what we're really dealing with. We're dealing with a person which thinks that a religion which has a different tradition than ours. And wherever that tradition is from, I'm not. We're not doing a study of comparative religion here, and this is not Yale, so I'm not doing it. But really, that's what we're looking at. One has to understand what we're looking at. We're looking at a clash of theology. Who is the bearer of the torch of monotheism, who brings monotheism, the true understanding of monotheism, to the world? Is it Zerah Yitzchak? Us. Or is it, no, we're just an afterthought. It is Zerah Yishmael. What is the true monotheism? Is it that found in your Jewish Torah? Or is it monotheism of Islam? And they also see their job to introduce Islam to the world. And this has been going on for centuries, if you're obviously aware of that. This is not politics. This is a clash of religions. And that's what's behind. If you really want to understand Hamas, I'm not talking about the PLO, which is a political arm. Hamas is a religious movement. And what's behind it is theology. And they actually believe that. Now, this is actually, you say this in Zmirot, Shabbat, those who do. There's a famous piyut of Ibn Ezra called Saman Nafshi Lelokim. And there's a piece there. Look at source Tet. Re'eli Giveret Emmet. This was this reminiscent of today's Haftorah. Look at the true matron. Shifchano Emmet. Her servant is claiming, Lo, no, Ki Bnei Hamet, your son matron, is dead. Equals he's dead. Wait, that's Yitzchak. Ubni and my son Yishmael. Huachai, he is the one which is live and kicking. Here you have it. Ibn Ezra lived under that culture and realized that the challenge was Islam at the time. He actually believes that the four kingdoms that we deal with in history are, the last one is Yishmael. He does not differentiate between Greece and Rome. He sees them as one body, one cultural entity. It is Babylon, Persian Medes, Greece and Rome, and ultimately Yishmael. Islam. He writes this in his Pirush. The Ramban quotes him and argues with him. There is a clash between medieval scholars of how we perceive history. Who is the ultimate challenge? And this is what he writes in his Piyut. I sing this every Shabbat, every Leil Shabbat. Re'eli Giveret Emet, Shifchano Emet, Hagar is saying, Lady, you're not the matron. You came second. B'ni Hachai, and your son Yitzhak is dead weight. That's what you just said. And that's the story that we're looking at. I want to understand, so just this is the background. Now I want to show you how we see all that. What are we supposed to do about that? What are you supposed to do about that? How can we do something? I don't, obviously, you know, just to give to people, to support people is so important, you know. But I want to show you the theological meaning of what we're doing. All these unbelievable missions, etc., people coming to support people and help people, even emotional support, it's so much more than just doing, being nice. I want to show you how that actually is part of the real remedy. And let's look at the word. Remember, our challenge was because Yishmael has the name of God in his name. And we have the name of God in his name. What does that name mean? So in Source Yud, it's a book called Pelech HaRimon. It's actually Pardes Rimonim with a Pirush called Pelech HaRimon. It was authored by Moshe Cordovero, the prime Kabbalist and Safed prior to the Ari. It's a very important book. Commentary Pelech Rimon was written by a professor, actually, Menachem Azaria of Fano. He was a professor in medicine in the University of Padua. You can go there in the halls. You'll see a bust of him. You know, Dr. Padua. And Ramari Padua is one of the G'doli HaKadmoinim. He wrote the Alfasi Zutta. He was a student of the Ari, one of the biggest Mekubalim. But that was very true beard, if you want to know. This was a Rabbi Dr. Emmanuel Fano of the University of Padua. He's the Ramami Panu. Anybody knows Kabbalah? He's frightening. Okay, I'm trying to say that we can all be like that. That's what I'm trying to say. He was a professional. He was not in the God business. He didn't have to, you know, package him for the season. You know, there was no boxing day for God for him. You know, but he was a doctor. Like Maimonides. He's one of the greatest Kabbalists in history. Most influential, if you want to know. So he writes here in chapter, this is actually Shar Beis, Perek Beis, where he discusses the names of God. And he says, Eil, the name Eil, Hamiyuchas el Chesed, that is attributed to the midah, to the attribute of God being altruistically giving. I said that in a certain way for a purpose, and I'll show you in a minute why. Pirushom Lashon Chosek. When we talk about Eil, we talk about the midah, the attribute of altruistically giving, not giving for receiving anything. Not giving because St. Pete is going to open the pearly gates. No, I remember I was a big hero of Mother Teresa of blessed memory. She was a very spectacular lady. I mean, if you read about her, I mean, for years she frightened me. Because I saw such an altruistic person giving so much to humanity. You know, she would bathe the lepers of Calcutta, everything. I says, wow, it can't be that such a Vaidasura has such beautiful people. It hurt me. I wish, you know, it's like Mamish, like the Berditchever. Like, it bothered me. Excuse me, it bothered me. Until she came to America, I'll never forget this. She came together with Princess Diana of blessed memory. And they came to America, and there was an interview with both of them, you know, column next to column in the Newsweek magazine. I don't do this in KBY, don't worry about it. Yeah. But I just, you know, I do sometimes, but not in sheer. Anyway, so there was, you know, there were two interviews, and there's an interview with Mother or Sister Teresa. No, she was mother then. She was the head of an order. I actually have books about her. I researched her. I wanted to understand. Vikum Shloisha Klippus Atmeis should have such chesed. It bothered me. It was a thorn. You know, sometimes you get Kedishan, Lelia Chodiot. Until she finally, they asked her, Sister Teresa, Mother Teresa, why do you do this? Oh, I've been waiting for this question for years. And she said, it's my way of attaining grace. Hallelujah! She does it because she wants to have the pearly gates open for her. That's okay. We all do that. That's not altruism. She's simply in a good business deal. She's investing wisely for a good purpose. The Rambam calls that, excuse the expression, emunat ketanim, the belief of minors, people who do things because they're going to get rewards for them. My mind, these 10th chapter of the Laws of Tshuva, I was so happy when I saw that interview. Thank God. I really was convinced that she was altruistic. I felt so redeemed, you know, that she's not an angel. She's like, you know, okay, she's a very beautiful values, but at least it's not altruistic, you know? I was really frightened. It was a kid drug. It bothered me. So Baruch Hashem, she also wanted the pearly gates open. She needs St. Pete to open up the gates. So this is, she wants to get grace. You know, amazing grace. It's a very important thing. You know, I didn't know, and now I know, and she's being saved. It's very nice. You know, like that slave driver over there. I'm very happy. But it's very important to know. You know what chesed really means? Chesed does not mean charity. Chesed means pure altruism. There's a quotation here in quote Yud Bet of Maimonides. And I'm going to go to the last three words of the second line, if you don't mind. This is literally the chapter, the last chapter in the book of the Guide of Perplexed, third volume, chapter 53. Kfar bi'anu, we already explained the Firush in an explicit way, avot shechesed, Pirush avot, in my commentary on avot. Shechesed inyano haflaga be'ezid davar shemaflegim bo. Chesed simply means limitless expression of self. Sometimes it's terrible. You know what we call incest in the Bible? Chesed. I remember I have these students say, "Oh, Rabbi, we're doing chesed on Tuesday." Okay, what type of chesed are you doing? You know what I mean? Chesed simply means limitless expression of the self. And sometimes you're not supposed to be there. You've expressed yourself with no limits. The Pasuk, the Gemara says that what is pshat that the world was built with chesed? Because Cain had to marry his sister. I mean, there were no limits. There was no one else to marry. What's he going to do, Cain? Marry the kangaroo? He had to marry a female. The only female was his sister. There were no other fathers and mothers walking around, right, in Eden. So ultimately, that's also chesed. But in our eyes, in the eyes of God, that's a negative chesed. You shouldn't be, you should put limits to yourself. You have to remember certain things, you have to say no to yourself. You don't just express yourself with no limits. But then there is a, most of the time, chesed is an unbelievable thing. And here I'm going to say it orally. The Rambam differentiates between tzedakah and chesed. I want you to know this because it's so important. You know, I live in Jerusalem and we have a certain municipal tax. It's called the people that knock on your door and they ask for help. You know, they really come, like the tax collector comes like five times a day. I don't know how much is in your neighborhood. Then poor people come, you know, and obviously you give them, right? And I thought about it, like, why would I want to give you money? Am I altruistic here? No, I'm not. You know, I give them money. And the rabbi says this, because you feel bad that you have and they don't. And you feel it is just that if God gave me and they don't have, it is just, it's the right thing to do to help them and give them. What this does is alleviates my pangs of guilt. I am actually redeeming myself by giving them some sustenance. I'm actually doing this and feeling good about myself. That's not chesed, the Rambam said. That's tzedakah. Tzedakah comes from the word just, tzedek. You're doing the right thing. That's not chesed. Chesed does not mean doing the right thing and not giving charity because it's the right thing to do. It's a beautiful thing to do. Tzedakah. No, I'm not knocking it. I think it's unbelievable. But that's not what the word chesed means. We have all these chesed organizations. I suggest they rewrite their logo to tzedakah organizations, because that's what it really is. They're doing the right thing. It's important to do. You know what chesed is? Why do I give this money? Because how could I not? That's all. How could I not? Rambam says, you know what a person that does chesed? Oseh et ha'emet mipnei shehu ha'emet. That's all. He does the truth because it is the truth, not because he'll gain anything, lose anything, feel better about himself. No, how could you not? You know, many times we do stupid things, and you, especially when you're married, you know, and then you say you're sorry. And the question is, okay, I forgive you what you did, but how could you do it? So we've all been there. Okay, I forgive you, but how could you? The flip side of that is doing a good thing, because how could I not do it? I'm not going to talk about the first part. I'll leave everybody, every couple, to deal with his own world. I just celebrated my 50th anniversary, so we were reminiscing about our decisions of how we're going to work things out, because I was a Rottweiler, you know what I mean? Thank God I've transformed into a poodle at home, you know, shaved, a little pom-pom on the tail, you know, it worked. But really, you know, it takes 50 years to trade a Rottweiler, but it worked, thank God. But really, that's what it really is, right? You know what you're doing is, how could you not? Ask Romeo why he would die if he didn't have Juliet. Because how could you live? When I was growing up, there was a song, and I will not quote the verse. The thing is, you can't live if living is without you. Anybody remember? That's what it is. How can I not give? Pure altruism. And the Rambam writes, that is what chesed means. The Rambam says every Jew can attain that if he puts his mind to it. 10th chapter, Laws of Repentance. Read it. Not here, but you can open the books. We can attain. It's unbelievable to think of it. Don't give because it's we feel good. Don't give. How could you not? How could you not? It's such a beautiful thought. And that's what chesed is. The pasuk is, look at Sorshid Aleph. Mati talel bera'ah hagibor, you heroic, you strong man. Why are you so boasting about the evil things you do? Chesed el kol hayom is the fortitude of chesed, of altruism, which God wants done totally every day. Now I want to show what this is for us today. Look at source Yud Gimel. Mor says, I'm actually teaching this Masechta now, it's Ksubas Daf Ches Amud Beis. The story of Resh Lakish, Shimon ben Lakish, that he told this Amora, he tells him they were at a Shiva house. And he said, and there are a lot of people coming, you know, that's what's happening now. We have boys and people going to comforting Beit Avelim. There's a lot of Batei Avelim now, and part of the Chinuch is to take boys and say, okay, night seder, you're not on campus, you're going to Rehovot, you're going to Ashdod, and you're going to go and be Menachem Avelim. But Rabbi, I don't know them, what should I say? He says, don't you understand? You're not supposed to say anything, you're just supposed to be there for people. I remember I said Shiva in this neighborhood, not Far Rockaway, for my dad. I remember coming in and people saying things to me that I remember coming in and says, oh, how old was your dad? Okay. My dad died too. Oh, make me feel good. We're part of the same fraternity. You know what I mean? This was his Nichum Availer. I mean, that tippish, you have to be born another time to meet people like that. Don't you understand that Nichum Availer is just to show that the person's not alone? Is that lonely? Because you feel very lonely. You feel your life is falling apart. You've suddenly encountered mortality. It's not just the person that's dead. You realize that no one's living forever. You suddenly realize, yeah, we enter and we exit. And every minute is important. And you're very vulnerable. You need someone there to tell you, yeah, I'm with you in this. No, you're not alone. You're not an Eleanor Rigby. You're not the lonely people out there. there's someone there that cares that you're alive. Isn't that what it's supposed to be? Like, I'm not a grievance counselor. Ashtikla Gemara I learned in my life. That's what Nechama Be'elim is supposed to be. So the Gemara said that Rish Lakish told the Samaritan, well, say something for these people that are coming to do Nechama Be'elim. Chum Eima Milsa K'negir Menachma Be'elim. Say something about these people here that they're doing Nechama Be'elim. These KBY boys that are going to these houses to do Nechama Be'elim. Tell them what they're doing. So it says, you know, Pasach V'Amar, he said, Acheinu Goyim L'Chasodim. My brethren, you are doing Chesed. Bnei Goyim L'Chasodim. You are the children of people who do Chesed. Hamachzikim Bebriso Shel Avraham Avinu. You hold up the covenant of Avraham Avinu. Do you see what this Gemara tells us? You know, when you have a circumcision, there's a bracha, a blessing, lachnisai, bebrisai, shel Avraham Avinu. There's no bracha on chesed. Why? It's a tshuvas harajba. It's a mitzvah which is totally in someone else, that's why. But if there would be a bracha on chesed, we would say, l'kayim brisai shel Avraham Avinu. Do you understand what it means? The bris of Avraham Avinu is not just circumcision. Living the bris of Avraham Avinu is being goymo chesed. Do you want to prove that you are a real machzik b'brisa shel Avraham Avinu? Are you capable of altruistically giving yourself for others? Do you want a solution to the who is the bal habris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Are you a rapist, murderer, beheader? Or are you actually capable of being an altruistic giver? Not a stucker person. Not because you feel good. Because how could you not? What you're doing when you're being Menachem Avelim, you're giving people a sense of existence. They're giving them their space. Because their space has been mortified and shattered. You're giving them a sense of existence. And here I'll show you something which is beautiful. The Perek in Tehillim, which discusses the idea of the world being created by Chesed, is in Source Yudalad, is chapter 89. That's the Pasuk, you look at the second and third Pasuk. Chasdei Hashem Olam Ashira L'dor V'dor. I will constantly, for generations, sing and laud the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki Amarti Olam Chesed Yibaneh. Everything, all the right Pasukim, right? Who's the author of the psalm? Very, very modern name. Eitan HaEzrachi. Mr. Eitan. Who is Mr. Eitan? Well, look at source Tetzvav. Borem Barbasher, Tetzvav. Zot the Gemara Omer Rav. Eitan HaEzrachi. Who is Eitan HaEzrachi? Zavram. That's Avram Avinu. So the song of Chesed is authored by the big Baal Chesed, by the altruistic giver. He doesn't care whether you're a Jew or not, whether you worship the dust of your feet, that you're a human being. You see, it's only the stork is also called a Chasidah, because she's Gaimel Chesed. But she's an impure fowl. We can't eat it. And the Chazal say, you know why? Because it's very sectarian. It only does chesed with its own species. Oh, when you are inclusive and you're adding other people to your category, you're a stork. That's not chesed. You know what it means? The chesed of altruism, that there are no categories. You were born in Tzelem Elohim. You embody the vision of God. Whether you're an old Arab in the Shuk, whether you're a poor guy living in the ghetto and probably selling oranges by the JW Bridge, and afterwards gets himself stoned, or whether you're the big Talmud Chacham living I don't know where, We're not supposed to categorize anybody. Avraham Avinu didn't categorize anybody. We only categorize to preserve our comfort zone, but if you're altruistic, there is no comfort zone to preserve. Why would you differentiate? Why would you differentiate? We differentiate because, I repeat again, we're storks. We will be very helpful. We'll be inclusive. I love the word. It means I will include you in my sphere of influence. I will include you in my perception of reality. Please don't put me in your box. I don't even like your box. Okay? Can you be boxless? Are you capable of being a human being and caring about human beings without putting anybody in a box? That's the challenge. That's chesed. That's what chesed means. You know why he's called Eitan? Oh, this is something good. Look at source Ted Zion. This is the quote from the Concordance of Mandelkorn, which, is, as we all know, is a major book of understanding the Shoreshim in Hebrew. Under the word Eitan, you have a printout there. Eitan, inyano chozek umutzak, it means firmness and strength, fortitude. V'yeto ratav ba'ot al ha'shalah, many different uses of Eitan come as a borrowed term from the idea of fortitude and firmness. And then he writes, v'ulai yesh bo mishorish it. He posits that the word Eitan comes from the root word in Aramaic of Aleph Yud Tav, Is. What does Is mean? He is. Eitan means Eitan Ezrichi, who gave a sense of being, of Is, to people. And this is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, chapter 57, when God says what we're supposed to be doing. V'omar, you know this haftorah, for goodness sakes, Yom Yerayim. Solu, solu, panu derech harim, michshom derech hami. Let's clear the obstructions of our highway of life. Ki ko amar ram v'nisa, and so said the high and beyond and above, which is God. Shochen ad v'kadosh shmo maram v'kadosh eshkor. Yes, I'm up there. God is all the way up there. I want you to understand what I want you to do. Esdaka ushval ruach. You take the people who are oppressed and have no sense of self. Shval ruach. Lachiot ruach shvalim. Can you invigorate a sense of life of people who are downtrodden? Lachiot lev nitkaim. Can you give a sense of life to people who have been oppressed and are depressed? And this is the chesed which Yeshayahu demands from people. Is, give them a sense of being. I heard this when I was a young bacher in Chevron Yeshiva, that in Tov Resh Mem Beis, that's a long time ago, actually 140 years ago, it was the cornerstone of Slobodka Yeshiva in Slobodka, which is a suburb of Kovna in Lithuania. And Rabbi Yisrael Lipkin of Salant sent a telegram. I heard this from Rabbi Chatzkel himself, which was there. Rabbi Yisrael Lipkin of Salant sent a telegram to the founder of the yeshiva. His name was Rabbi Nassim Tzvi Finkel, the first. They have to say it's like a dynasty. The first, commonly known as the Alter of Slobodka. And he sent him a telegram, and he wrote this. I heard it from Pratz. This is not one of these barrel wine stories. I heard it from the horse's mouth. Okay, you know, this is like the real thing. Tachlis ha-yeshiva. The goal of any yeshiva. Lachyot ruach shpeilim v'lachyot lev nitkaim. To energize, enable and ennoble. To give energize, to give fortitude, a sense of existence to he who is downtrodden and doesn't trust himself. It's to give existence to the lonely people. You know, sometimes I'm on the Upper West Side. I used to have an apartment there. A friend of mine used to give me when I used to do my travels for KBY. Thank God I don't do that anymore. But we met a lot. different places, didn't we? How's Brad, by the way? Doing good. Give him my love. So sometimes you walk on Amsterdam Avenue, you have a lot to think about, and it's an interesting place to be, you know? And you see these Eleanor Rigby's, all the lonely people. Like this guy's walking there with two chihuahuas dressed in their Burberry sweaters at 12 o'clock at night. It isn't funny. It's tragic. Don't you understand how tragic it is? All he has is two chihuahuas and his best Burberry sweaters. I don't even own a Burberry sweater. You know what I mean? I'm a simple Paul Frederick man. You know what I mean? You know, buy online. You got a Burberry sweater. Two little chihuahuas with Burberry sweaters. And I'm sure he's probably the loneliest man on earth. And there's so many lonely people. Don't you understand what chesed means? You got to give these people life. You know, I'm going to end with a story. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Do you want to solve the theological dilemma, the business of Malach? Who is the Machzik b'brisay shel Avraham Avinu? We can't do more circumcision than we're doing. I mean, I've got it. How much can you cut? Okay? I don't think anybody here is going to be a major proselytizer for monotheism. We don't expect that for people. We're not a proselytizing religion. But the Machzik b'brisay shel Avraham Avinu, to give life to people, to give a sense of existence to people, to sit in a nechama villa and not talk, to give a sense that no one's lonely. We're there for people. I think that's the greatest thing when I see these missions coming to Israel now. You know, it's so nice that you know, stop your talking. Just sit there and let people know that people come across the ocean because they care. It's all anybody wants to know. Give life to people. Stop categorizing people. Don't care whether he's a tattooed, ponytailed fellow which doesn't like the judicial reform, or whether he's one of these right-wing, flag-waving fascists. I've given you the different names that we call each other in Israel when we're at each other's throat, right? Wow. Yeah. Can you stop putting people in boxes? Can you stop categorizing? Can you stop being a stork? Can you actually do a real chesed? It sounds pretty bad, yeah, but don't be a stork. When I was a kid growing up in America, and they were bringing back the boxes from Vietnam, does anybody remember? So there was a song, I remember, Little Boxes on the Hillside. And they were talking about, you know, the boys were brought back in boxes from Southeast Asia. I promised myself that no one's ever going to put me in a box. And I will try my best never to put anybody in a box. Because, box means you just killed the person. In a box. Can you stop boxing people? And thus, don't be a stork. You actually love people because they are God's creation. Can you care about people? Are they like you? No, they're not like you. But what's the difference? Why would it be a difference? Obviously, I hear you. But I'm talking about your feelings. There's halachas of what to do. But your compassion should be, you should feel terrible when you see these poor people selling oranges by the GW Bridge next to YU. You should feel terrible walking down St. Lignus Avenue in Washington Heights. Did you ever feel bad? You said, no, they're a bunch of... You know, I remember the words. And this occurrence has taught me that the song of Chesed is Eitan Ha'ezrachi. Eitan Milashon Is. Giving fortitude and existence. Milashon Yesh. It's Mr. Yesh. The man who is giving life to people. Lachiot Ruach Shvelim. Lachiot Nifkaim. I wish you Great evening. It's great seeing you all. I hope you walk away with some understanding of what this is all about. What we can all do. This is not, we can actually do this. Wish I try to be better people. Try to be, it's terrible. It's all politics. Once they start saying certain terms, they're going to put me in a box again. Ooh, he's a Bernie Sanders man, you know, something. No, I'm a Republican. You really want to know. But no, but I'm also a human being. Is he a cosmopolitan? Another box. No, I'm just a human being. And I believe that this is all God's world, and everything in this world is God's creation. And how can I not be compassionate to God's creation if I expect God to be compassionate to me, and I'm a jerk, and he's nice to me? I have no justification for the compassion he gives me. I have so much to thank for. Do you think I'm worth it? I know I'm not. So obviously God is purely just gives. So you have to be godly. End of the day, don't be a stork. Have a good evening.